has to be New Year Sunday, the first Sunday after the new year. Now, you know, there's really nothing magical about New Year, is there? I mean, it really is just another day, isn't it? But it just feels like when the new year comes about, it's a new beginning. Something different is about to take place. And so I absolutely love preaching on that first Sunday after New Year's. I was telling a couple of people just a little bit ago that I know it's going to be a great year because on New Year's Day, I ate pounds and pounds of black-eyed peas and cabbage. And so that obviously gives you luck and makes things a happy new year. So I know it's going to be a great year. And as I think about the new year, I think about all the things that we're going to be doing here at Hagerman Baptist Church. Man, we're going to have opportunities again to minister in our community. We're going to minister out at the Locust Volunteer Fire Department as we've done previously in the last year. Man, we're going to have opportunity to participate in Family Promise. We've got a mission trip to Bangladesh coming up. We've got Vacation Bible School. We've got our Bible studies on Wednesday nights and church on Sunday mornings. We've got all of these different opportunities. I know Nate and I have been praying and talking and planning and looking, and it's going to be a great year. Now, since it's going to be a great year, and we're going to focus on our purpose of knowing Christ and making Him known, we're going to be living out the four practices that we have around the building and the practices of learning and praying and giving and going. We're going to be doing all of those things, and I can guarantee that it's going to be a great year, but great year does not mean it's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges. Man, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be ins. There's going to be outs. There's going to be times we agree and times we disagree. But there's one thing that I know that will not change, and that's what we're going to focus on, and that's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of the message that Jesus Christ came, He lived, He died, He rose from the dead, and He is coming again. And no matter what we go through this year, no matter what successes we have, no matter what failures, no matter what problems, no matter what joys, the gospel remains unchanged. And that's what we're going to focus our attention on throughout this year. So a couple of months back, I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on this Sunday and kind of what I wanted to start the year off with. And I was thinking about the gospel, and I was thinking about the message of Jesus Christ and the good news of His message. And it just hit me that that's what we need to place our eyes on. And I think there's really several books in the New Testament we could focus on. But one of the best books in the New Testament we can spend the first couple of months of 2019 looking at to focus our attention on the gospel is Paul's letter to the Galatians. So I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians. The book of Galatians is sometimes called the Magna Carta of Christian freedom because it's a declaration of the fact that we are free in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We have freedom from the past. We have freedom right here in the present. We have the freedom to allow Christ to live His life through us. We don't have to be weighed down by the past. We don't have to be weighed down by guilt. We don't have to be defined by our failures. We are defined by Jesus Christ. We are free in Him. And so over the next couple of months, we're going to be focusing on Paul's letter to the Galatians. We're going to be looking at this series titled Free in Christ. He has set us free, people. He really does love us. He really did die on the cross. And it is the basis for the new life that we have in Him. And so we're going to be challenged by this freedom. We're going to celebrate this freedom. We're going to focus on the new life that we have in Jesus. You know, as we go throughout life, there are several different events that we could call life-changing events, aren't there? You know, it might be a marriage. It might be a divorce. It might be the death of a loved one. It might be the birth of a new child. It might be moving to a city. It might be a new job. It might be losing a job. There are several different things in our lives that really change the direction and the focus of our lives. Well, reading the book of Galatians has been a life-changing experience for people throughout Christian history. Several hundred years ago, in the 1500s, there was a little Catholic monk by the name of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther taught at a seminary in Germany. And in part of his teaching, he had to teach through the books of Romans in the book of Galatians. And it was through reading Romans and reading Galatians that Martin Luther began to realize that there were several abuses taking place at that time in the Catholic Church. And there was an emphasis on working your way towards God's love and earning God's love. And when Martin Luther read Romans and when he read Galatians, he realized we can't earn God's love. We can't work for it. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. We are free in Christ. And it was his reading of the book of Galatians that actually sparked what we now call the Protestant Reformation. It is no shortcoming to say that the book of Galatians is one of the most influential writings in all of world history. And so a reading of this letter can change our lives. But it's not because Paul was such a great writer. It's not because this is such good literature. It's because it's the truth of the gospel. And whenever we focus on Jesus, whenever we focus our lives on his cross and his resurrection, it has the potential to change our lives. And so that's what we're going to be doing probably through about the month of March, is focusing on Paul's letter to the Galatians, fixing our attention on the crucified Christ, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now today, we're going to look at chapter 1. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 5. And I've simply titled this message, The Message of Freedom. This is Paul's essential message that we are free. So let's go ahead and read Galatians 1, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll pray and ask God to guide us into his word. Scripture says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this new year you've given us. We thank you for new life that we have in Christ every day. We thank you for grace and mercy and compassion and just the newness that you give. Thank you, Father, that we truly are free in Christ. And so as we look at Galatians this morning and over the next couple of months, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us, that you would transform us, that you would make us more like Jesus, that you would help us to realize the goodness of the gospel, because everything else pales in comparison to the goodness of the gospel. Father, I am so sorry for the times in my life where I take my eyes off the gospel, where I put attention on myself or what I think I can accomplish and what I can do to earn your love. But bring us back to the truth this morning that we are free, that this is a message of freedom, that you love us in our good times and our bad times. You love us every minute of our lives. Transform us with that love this morning. Change us, guide us. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said. Have you ever noticed in life that it's oftentimes our struggles that really define us? When we go through a particularly difficult situation, we tend to begin to understand what's really important in life, don't we? We understand the people that are important. We understand the issues that really are important. Man, when you're going through an illness or a financial trouble or a marital trouble, whatever you're going through, when you're going through that trouble, it kind of crystallizes what you really believe and what you really see is important in life. It is struggle that oftentimes defines us. Well, the letter to the Galatians was written by Paul during a time of struggle. He was going through a difficult period with these churches, and so it crystallized his message. It brought it into focus, and it helped him really define what is truly important in the Christian life. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background to this letter. This letter is written to the Christians in a Roman province called Galatia. If you want to read about those churches and some of Paul's experiences in those churches, you can look back at Acts chapters 13 and 14. Those letters, those cities and those in that passages describe how Paul was on his first missionary journey with his friend named Barnabas, and he's going throughout these cities and he's planting churches, he's being run out of town, there's all kinds of different things happening. This is very early on in Paul's ministry, and he is seeing the gospel take root. He is seeing churches be planted. So remember that as we're reading through Galatians, these are some of the very first converts that Paul brought to Christ. And so they were special to him. He was passionate passionate about these people. He saw the gospel work. He saw miracles take place, and he is excited about them. But something bad began to take place not long after he left Galatia. Now, we don't know. Some people think it was just a couple of months after Paul left. Some people think it was several years after Paul left. But apparently, after Paul left and after he had preached that they were free in Christ, that life is about Christ crucified, that you can't earn God's love, that it's all about grace, apparently some other teachers came in behind him and said, "Hey, you know that Paul guy? Doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not a real apostle. He's not a real teacher. The real apostles are in Jerusalem. And let me tell you, I've got a message from them." Now, they're probably making up this message. This was not really coming from them. But the message is this: yes, you need Jesus. Yes, you need grace. But you need other things too. You need to follow the law. You need to be circumcised. You need to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. You need Jesus plus works in order to be a Christian. And for some reason, the Galatians went, "Oh, okay." And they began to adopt that practice. And they began to add things to Jesus and put things along with the message of grace. And we don't know how Paul hears this word, but when Paul hears about this, he is mad. He is livid. He is passionate. He cannot believe that these people that he preached the grace of Christ to have gone the complete other direction to something that we often call legalism, trying to earn God's love, trying to work our way into God's good graces. And so some of the questions that Paul is going to answer in this letter have to do with, is Paul really an apostle? Does he really have an authoritative message from Jesus Christ? And is the gospel enough? Is it Jesus alone, or is it Jesus plus works? And I think this is a very important message for us today as well. The issues of, does Paul still have authority, and is Jesus enough? Because in our modern world, we're oftentimes told that the Bible is old-fashioned, that it's not really authoritative, it doesn't really have a true message. And so we need to ask the same question that the Galatians asked: is Paul really authoritative? Is God really speaking his word? Or do we need to listen to people in our culture, in our lives, that try to point us in a different direction? In this modern world, is the simple message of Jesus Christ still enough? Or have we progressed past that? Is there something else we can base our lives on? And so this is a very important letter for us as well. And it's an interesting letter to read because Paul is so passionate. He's emotional. He's angry. He gets angry in this letter. This is the only one of Paul's letters where he does not give a prayer of thanksgiving for his readers. He greets them, he gives his introduction, and he gets right to business. He is mad. And so it's a very emotional letter, but it makes sense because the message of the gospel is at stake. And there are certain things we should be angry about. There are certain things we need to be passionate about. And the essential message of Jesus Christ was at risk. And so Paul went to work showing them once again that we are free in Christ. Now, as we look just a little bit ago, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it's the introduction to the letter. And this is a pretty standard introduction for ancient literature. You tell who the writer is, who he's writing to, and then you get to work. But in Paul's introductions, he oftentimes states some of the main themes and main purposes of the letter. And that's exactly what he does here in these five verses as he talks about the message of freedom. So let's go ahead and look at two of the emphases that Paul places in this letter. First of all, in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul is going to talk about his authority. Paul has authority. So let's go ahead and go back to verses 1 and 2. Scripture says, "Paul, an apostle." Now let's stop there for just a moment. What is an apostle? That's a word that we toss around in church, we read about in the Bible, but what exactly is an apostle? If you go throughout the New Testament, you'll find that this word is used in really kind of two senses. First of all, in the Christian church, an apostle can refer to anybody that is going around and planting churches and preaching the message of Christ. It's very much like what we would call a missionary in our day and age. And so in a very general sense, there were a lot of apostles in the New Testament church. And we have apostles here in our world today that have a passion for going to new places and planting the churches and sharing the gospel and spreading the word of God, and they are ones that are sent out with a message. That's what the word apostle means, one who is sent out as a representative with a message. But also in the New Testament, there was a very narrow sense of this word that referred referred to a specific group of people who had witnessed the resurrection of Christ and who were given the task of founding the New Testament church. Obviously, Jesus' 12 apostles, and Paul included himself in this list, because if you go back to Acts chapter 9, you see that Paul encountered the resurrected Christ in some sort of visionary experience. We don't know exactly what it was, but he encountered the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life was forever changed. So right here at the outset of the gospel, right out at the outset of Galatians, Paul is very clear. I'm not just anybody. I am an apostle. I have seen the resurrected Christ. And he goes on and he clarifies that even more. He says, I'm an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And so Paul says, listen here. I have a God-given authority. I have seen Christ. My life is rooted in his resurrection. My life has been forever changed because I came in contact with the God of Jesus Christ who raised him from the dead. The resurrection forever changed the life of Paul. And so we need to ask that question today. Is Paul still authoritative in our day? Or is this just an old, worn-out book? The ministry of Paul was rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's words still stand true for us today. This is why when we come together on a Sunday morning, this is why we read the Bible. We don't read the Bible and preach just because preachers like to hear themselves talk. You know, that's not why we do it. We come together and we study God's word because we believe that Paul's words are God's words. And we believe that God is speaking through Paul, and we believe it's an authoritative message, and we believe it's a life-changing message. We believe it can make us new people, and somehow when we are reading Scripture, we come in contact with the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we come in contact with that same God that forever changed Paul's direction, and when we are studying the words of Paul, it can also change the direction of our lives as well. God did not create us simply to float through life. God did not create us simply to kind of go to work, come home, go to bed, go to work, come home, go to bed. He didn't make us for that. He made us for a purpose. He wants to make us messengers. He wants to send us out. He has given us the responsibility of sharing the gospel and reaching out to others and making a difference in our lives. And when we study the Scriptures, when we submit to the authority of Paul under the Scriptures, it forever changes the direction of our lives. So I encourage you as we start out this new year to remember that this is the Word of God. This is a true message. It is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God wants to speak a word to you that will forever change the direction of your lives. And so Paul is very, very clear that he is an apostle. He is sending this letter with all the other people who believe this message to the churches in Galatia. But what is this message? In verses 3 through 5, Paul is going to give a little bit of summary of his message. Look at verse 3. Paul says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's a pretty simple greeting. It seems to combine both a Greek greeting and a Hebrew greeting and kind of put them together. And so it also really defines what the Christian life is all about. We are Christians simply because of grace. And because we have been given grace, we have peace with God. We have peace with one another. But I want you to notice something very important about this. Where does grace and peace come from? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's an essential element of Paul's gospel, of his message, that Jesus is the only source of grace, that God the Father is the only source of peace, that we only find the grace we long for, the peace we long for, the meaning we long for when we connect with God the Father and Jesus Christ. There's a lot of voices in our world that say they can promise peace. You know, every time I go to Cabela's, and I like to go to Cabela's, Cabela's promises me peace. If you buy that shotgun, you will have peace. If you buy that rod, you will have peace. If you have the latest tackle, you will have peace. And that's how advertising works, isn't it? But what happens when we get those things that promise us peace? We need a little more, don't we? It's never enough. It never fulfills the promise. There are so many things in our world today that promise us peace, but grace and peace and hope and meaning and purpose only come from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message of the gospel, that He is the one that gives us purpose. Now in verse 4, Paul is going to describe a little bit about Jesus, and this is more of the message of his gospel. Verse 4 says that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Here in this verse, Paul focuses on the main theme of Galatians. Christ is crucified. He gave himself for your sin. He gave himself for my sin. He gave himself to rescue us. And a rescue is something you can't rescue yourself. You need to be rescued by someone else, someone who is above the situation, someone who can take you out of the mess that you are in. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. We could not save ourselves. We could not make ourselves right with God. We could not earn His love. We could not find grace and peace. We could not find meaning. But Jesus Christ willingly gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil that we are living in. That is the gospel message. And that's why later in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul says, probably the most famous verse in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I living, but Christ living in me. The one who died, who loved me, who gave himself for me. Christ crucified is the gospel. So I want you to know this morning, there is nothing you can do this morning to earn the love of God. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. God has sent His Son to die on a cross to rescue you from the present evil age. So Christ is crucified. Grace and peace only come from Him. Christ is crucified. And what does this result in? God is glorified. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do we want to honor God in our lives? Do we want our lives to count and have purpose and meaning? How do we do that? We allow Christ to live His life through us. We allow His grace to transform us. We accept His free gift. We believe in His sacrifice. And that is what brings glory to God. And so, the gospel is a message of freedom that brings glory to God alone. It glorifies God when we live in this free grace. It is for our own good. And so this 2019, this new year, let's focus our attention on the gospel and let's all remember we are free in Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? This morning, church, spend time thanking God for the fact that you are free. You are free. You may not feel like you are. You may be weighted down by past mistakes and struggles and hurts and pains. But the truth is, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He loves you dearly. You are free. You are loved. You are loved as you are, not as you should be, because nobody is as they should be. You are loved. And so rejoice in the fact this morning that you truly are free. My entire life, I have struggled with legalism, thinking I needed to earn God's love, thinking I needed to be good enough, thinking I needed to myself and all put together, and it's exhausting. It doesn't work. It doesn't give grace. It doesn't make me. It doesn't ignore me. Maybe that's you this morning. Drop the act. We all know you're imperfect. Jesus knows you're imperfect. So drop the act this morning. Back in those old ways, just like the Galatians fell back. They fell back in the old ways. Get back up. by taking the bread. The scripture